Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Hello, and this is Wednesdays with Willa. I am your host, Willa White, a registered Lilydale medium, and this is my weekly podcast show that airs every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m., and I typically have a special guest on the show who I'll be introducing momentarily, and we discuss a topic relating to spiritualism, mediumship, healing, faith, family, and more, and we take you all over the board in this show. And I really enjoy doing it. It's something that posts on my Facebook page, Willa White Medium, so you can like and share and follow, and you'll be told when I'm going live and other posts that come up for the shows and other events that I do. And it also goes on to the Lilydale Assembly Facebook page and the blogtalkradio.com/Lilydale Radio page. So you have a listen-only feature through the Lilydale Radio, or you can view me and hear me on Wednesday mornings through my Facebook page. So thank you so much for joining us today, and I can't wait to introduce my special guest today. She is certainly one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. And for those of you who don't know, this beautiful lady next to me is Judith Rochester. Thank you for being on the show today, Judith.
Well, thank you for asking me. Such an honor.
It's always an honor to have you.
And a pleasure, too.
Aw, yeah. Thank you. We delight in each other. And Judith is a mediumship teacher. She has helped many mediums along the path of mediumship and understanding how to unfold their spiritual gifts. And I grew up, as it were, in her weekly development circle. And it was just such an enlightening time for me. And, of course, we've kept our bond through the years.
We have, haven't we?
Absolutely. And Judith is a retired registered medium at Lilydale. So she's no longer in circulation in that effect. But you do the mediumship circles, and we're so grateful that you do on Friday evening.
Friday evening, circle and class.
Yes.
Called Awaken the Medium in You.
Yes.
And the wonderful thing about it is that you can come whenever you're drawn to it, and you always seem to fit in.
Yeah.
Even though the program is ongoing, and there is a core group that comes regularly.
Absolutely.
But we have many people who come and go as they can, and it's just a lovely, lovely, very loving.
It is. And you're so welcoming, and so is the group. And, you know, every week there's a different topic that Judith covers, and usually that first hour is the topic, and,
right.
or the class, or the practice that's associated with that, and then the second half is devoted to a brief meditation and then giving and receiving messages in a circle of spirit contact.
And not as many circles, because often it's quite big, so we have to break them down and do things, but it's like circles.
Yes, and so people get practice being a medium and
definitely.
So testing the waters if they're a beginner or being helped along if they're more advanced.
Yeah, and it's like a little old schoolhouse where there are all levels and it all seems to work. Everybody helps each other, and I really do enjoy it. It's such a beautiful thing for me to have the opportunity to keep growing myself
Absolutely.
That way.
Yeah.
So it's at the Assembly Hall here in Lilydale, 7 to 9.
Yes.
It's given by the Church of the Living Spirit.
Yes, it's sponsored by the Church of the Living
Spirit. Sponsored by the Church, $10 for 2 hours. So.
Which is a wonderful thing.
Affordable.
Absolutely.
But, you know, if you can't afford that, you slip in anyway.
No.
Knowledge shouldn't, money shouldn't be deterrent for knowledge.
And a development circle, in my opinion, is one of the best ways to develop.
Yeah.
So that you can become consistent, so that mind, body, spirit, you become attuned to doing the work.
Yes.
and you kind of get used to it. And if you miss a week, you feel a little off. Like
It's
almost like if you missed your walk for the day or your exercise for the day or however that works for you. You'd be like, oh, I really need to be there.
So that's a lovely segue, isn't it, into spiritualism,
topic. Our topic today is the relevance of spiritualism in today's world. So that's a very significant title. We really want to explore that with all of you today.
And because the home circle is such a tradition in spiritualism.
Absolutely.
And such a wonderful way in which people would get together and commune with spirit, with the unseen world. And like you said, it was their regular way of practicing, of living their religion.
Yes.
With each other.
With spiritualism, we believe that in God and believe that God is all there is, and we believe that mediumship is a gift of the spirit.
Yes.
And that it's an evidence throughout the ages. And it's in different scriptures, including the Bible, and it really is such a beautiful way to stay in connection with our loved ones who've passed.
Yeah.
And, you know, in your circles, that's something that is very strong and always given guidance to. So I have to give Judith credit for these things, for sure.
Well, ultimately, isn't it, and you know, it's all about spirit.
Yeah.
We're just the channel.
Absolutely.
Right? We're the instrument for spirit to work through us to help others, whether it's in a circle or public, the way you do.
Yes.
The beautiful service you do.
Aww.
And I think that's too such an amazing thing about spiritualism is that often in traditional churches, service isn't always considered everybody's prerogative. It's sometimes the more the hierarchy.
True.
In the church, not in all. Right. I guess Quakerism is much more like we are.
True.
We're very non-hierarchical. Every individual is encouraged. We believe in that each individual has the right and the opportunity to
develop as a soul.
Yeah. In their own way, seeking from within.
And spiritualism is very special in terms of showing there's continuity of life.
Yes.
That it's not just this particular reality that we seem to be sharing, but the other dimensions, the other planes of existence, and that we can maintain connections with our loved ones in spirit, if we wish, if they wish, and that it can become a regular thing, or it might go through phases. And there have been different sections of history where people have really needed the guidance of spirit more in their lives if they're handling grief or handling their life circumstances. And sometimes they just really wish they could talk to their mom again.
Yeah, it's wonderful. When you're talking about an awareness of reality being bigger than this one, to me that is such a daily support.
Yes.
To know that if there is chaos and upset and disorder here, that underneath there is a divine order.
Yes.
And that there is a bigger dimension, a bigger world, a higher order, of which we're all part.
Yeah.
Even though we're walking on this plane, we're still a part of that order of goodness, love, of wisdom, of harmony.
Mm-hmm.
If we had just attuned to our soul, and it helps us to rise above. Especially, I feel that's one of the things that's so relevant today to handle the challenges of discouragement and depression and pessimism and skepticism.
Yes, because you can fall into the pit of those things.
Yes.
And there's another element to spiritualism as it relates to spiritual natural law.
Mm-hmm.
And many of you have heard of the law of attraction, the law of personal responsibility, law of karma, law of resonance, Now, there are many laws that are in effect in our lives, and you know, it helps us to know them so that we can navigate our lives in that knowledge.
Yes.
And to say, aha, this is how this law is showing up in my life, and this is how I can use this law to change my outlook and perhaps change outcome that happens, because it's ultimately not about what happens to you, it's how you react to it that dictates the event. And so spiritual natural law is going to continue in your life whether you use it to your benefit or not.
Exactly. I brought
Judith is always very prepared, which I'm grateful for.
I find it interesting because some of our laws, they seem so new and fresh, because in a way they always are.
Yes.
The way they're all ancient, but they're always fresh when we experience them or we discover. We go, oh, yes.
Yes.
Why did that situation happen? Well, maybe in my consciousness, I wasn't exactly as open or loving as I could have been.
Right.
Or whatever.
Yeah, the law of grace or the law of abundance. Or
the law of thought.
The law of thought.
And so to find then other religions that have these same laws, I find very confirming. So there's one in the Dhammapada, little Buddhist book that describes this law, and Buddha opens this little book with the law of thought.
Welcome to the law of thought, folks.
Are you up to me reading it?
Absolutely.
So it says, we are what we think. All that we are arises with our thoughts. With our thoughts, we make the world. And then it goes on.
Yeah, the law of creative reality is
right.
The law of thought is part of that.
Creative responsibility.
Exactly, and so thoughts are things. Everybody knows that very cliched phrase. Clichés exist, and I've said this before, because they're true.
That's a good one.
Yeah, and so you know we have to know that our word is our wand.
Mm-hmm.
And that we have to be conscious of where we allow our thoughts to steer. And, you know, it's very tricky. We're all, each one of us, very human. And, you know, we can fall into a pit of, why is this happening to me? Oh, the spiral effect.
It's hard to admit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very hard, especially when it's not just.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fair. It doesn't seem, it isn't just on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
But if we dig down deeper, just trusting
divine
law, trusting God, trusting the Spirit, always.
And it'll clear the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's also helpful if you have a connection with your own soul and your angels, because you can say, angels, help me with discernment now.
Yes, please.
I feel in the thick of it and blinded, and I need that. So spiritualism has so many uses, and it has such a power, whether you're trying to think of it from the religious standpoint or the philosophical. I feel that it's easier sometimes to talk about the philosophical in the sense of, it's up here, but then we have to apply it in the physical life. It moves from that thought, the law of thought,
right,
into the tissues and the flesh of the person.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what Buddha was going on to say.
Yes.
Yes, so it is a religion.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Belief in God. But even there, I mean, isn't it wonderful that we can say, and we talk about this in the class, we can say, you know, what is your concept of God? What do you believe? You know, explore it.
Mm-hmm.
Open to the Spirit, open to God, and ask, where is your heart? Where is that deep devotion of the soul?
Yeah.
What do you believe is the God of your understanding.
And what is your relationship with the divine?
Yes.
And what are you choosing to do moving forward in that relationship?
There was, in the group, in the class, I invite people to, maybe you remember, to open and close with prayers.
Yes.
So everyone gets used to realizing that they can serve, they can uplift. There's nothing more beautiful than not only saying a prayer for someone else, but then being the recipient, right? When somebody prays for you and you're sitting there the way your sitters do when they come for a reading, and you feel so cared for.
Yeah.
Just so protected, so loved.
And you're seen as a soul.
Yes.
In those moments.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I remember asking a student who was fairly new, and she said, "Oh no, I can't.
I couldn't possibly
give a prayer. That's only for priests and ministers." So I thought, you know, we do often feel that prayer, even being a spiritual, is taking charge as a spiritual person, is more in a religion, a standard religion.
And the standard religion concept. And that's one of the things that as spiritualists, we believe that, and we understand and know deep within ourselves, that each person is to have their own connection with God.
Yes.
And there's no intermediary.
Right.
And I frequently talk myself out of a job with clients because I'll say, "You don't really need me." If you really want to do this yourself, you can. And they're like, "But it just comes more easily for you." I've had a lot of practice, folks. A lot of practice talking to spirit when I was a little child. And then, you know, being in your classes, I was thinking back on that. That was like almost 25 years ago. So it becomes easier the more you do it.
Yeah.
And the more you talk to God yourself, the more you pray, the more you put that into action in your life, you get used to the rhythm. And there's nothing wrong with having ritual like that in your life. The prayers of grace and morning and bedtime and in between when you need it. And it's useful to know that we don't need an intermediary.
Right.
That it's not because somebody else said it so, but we so frequently want a witness to our healing, a witness to our pain, a witness to the occasion.
Right. And as you were talking, I was thinking of Hudson Tuttle, who wrote the book Mediumship and Its Laws, how some of the early spiritualists were so excited. All of this was new, like it still is for us.
Sure.
But because it was new in the world, they expressed it in these glowing terms. And he talks about the excitement of a religion, of spiritualism, without any hierarchy.
Mm.
Where everyone, and in at the beginning, there was being a minister or being a this or a that was not a part of the practice.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's another, and I think most of us are aware of that, because given any group community event, anyone in that group could get up and lead that service, even though for the moment one person is a pastor.
It'd be nice if they would let the person who signed up for the duty do it. You can sign up for another time. This isn't
idea.
Y'all interrupt. It's because y'all come.
So the idea that, that you all come, everyone's welcome, and everyone's equal, men, women,
Yeah, that's always been part of spiritualism.
Diverse.
Very strongly. Everyone. Modern spiritualism.
Yeah. And old.
And ancient.
And old.
Yes, I did that lecture not too long ago in December about the Sibyls and the prophets that are on the Sistine Chapel that Michelangelo painted. And prophets from the Bible, but also the Sibyls, who were the prophetesses that predicted the birth of Jesus, the coming
mm-hmm.
of Jesus. And,
yeah.
And the significance of that. So if anybody wants to go back on my page and look at that, you're welcome.
Yes,
to.
I missed it.
Yeah, you missed it. But you can go back and see it again.
I love it when you speak.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, wonderful.
But, you know, there's always something more to learn from the old.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I get excited when I read about what is going before us, because I say, well, you know, there's a good chance I can do that too.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
It's very much an understanding of I can build on the shoulder, you know, we're standing on the shoulders of giants, as it
yeah.
were, and we can build on what they have done. And
right.
But we need to stay true, very true to the essence of spiritualism
mm-hmm.
and what it represents, and the ability to share with the world the good news. Because
exactly.
people are
it
finding
the good
news. They find Lily Down, they find spiritualism, they're like, why have I never heard of this place? And why? Like, it's new and fresh for them. And so more and more people are finding that and waking up to
yeah.
it. And it's such a beautiful thing.
Another thing, just to add, like you say, there's so much that's new, and so much besides the comfort, the discovery
mm-hmm.
that a spirit loved one is still alive on the other side of life. That's big time.
It's
it
a
just
big
changes our whole worldview completely.
Especially if someone has pulled away from the concept of God in their life, if they've pulled away from the church that they've been at or what they were raised in, or maybe they were raised in atheism, it's really interesting to me how all of a sudden they're like, I believe. I know this just happened.
Yes.
I know you just talked to my dad.
Yes.
You know, I know that, and it changed my life.
Yes, we're religion of knowledge.
Yes, a religion
not just
of knowledge.
Faith, but faith
and so
is
that's why spiritualism,
too.
I feel, will always be in effect, probably until everybody knows that within themselves they can do it.
Yes, yes.
Which could take a while. Cause some people, you know, it's not for everyone at this time.
Yeah.
They have to come to it in their own time.
And the optimism, as you say, the good news. When you think of how often, as a child, how many of us perhaps thought we were born of sin.
Hmm.
You know, that we
right.
were born not good, or that somehow we're deep down, somehow we weren't good.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then to discover, to realize it, and confirm that probably what we knew really is that deep down, underneath everything, we are good. That's
yes.
our essence, our soul. And that we come into this world good.
We do.
With the divine light as eternal beings. And the strength that that gives to us
yes.
is enormous. To come back to that, the bottom line is light and
is
love
light
and
love.
Life, eternal life,
and
here and now.
Florence Scovel Shinn talks about that in her books. She's a New Thought writer from like the Great Depression era, and she talks about, she calls it the race thought. It's the human race thought that we have sin and that we carry that within us and that we're innately bad. And that the fall from grace in the sense of being kicked out of the Garden of Eden. But there is a usefulness to having that thought if it helps you to then return to your divine principle. So there's a level of entertainment that people get from having struggle.
Absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
And a lot of people will learn through struggle.
Well, I think what I feel is that knowing that essence, my essence and your essence is good,
mm-hmm.
Then helps me through the daily or the even deeper sense of my inadequacy or my sinfulness or my weakness, the harm I've done or the hurt or the lack. So those are also givens.
Yes.
On this earth plane, and the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Struggle
is real.
To overcome those. For real.
But is it? It's all so funny.
Yeah.
Oh.
But at least we've got that basic light in life to make it through that struggle, to overcome it. So that's, yes. I don't believe
people...
we're sinless.
We do make mistakes.
But we need forgiveness.
I think sometimes people come into this game of life, as it were, and handicap themselves a bit like they would for a game of golf. And they'll say, I'm going to handicap myself going into this game because I like a challenge. So, and then there they go. And,
what do you mean?
Golfers will do this. They'll say they already have so many points. So that they can
balance themselves out with someone else who's better.
Yeah. Well, who's not as good.
Or who's not as good.
Or if they're playing somebody who's better. It's something that's a game that they play within themselves to see if they can even do better the next game.
So how does that apply to daily life?
So in life, this idea, sometimes people will give themselves some handicap, perceived handicap, and then they're in this game of life, and they have this opportunity to rise above it, that despite their handicap, they can still get a hole-in-one about something on that course. Or many times on that course, and you can see this in people's different stories that are out there. The ones that really have come from such great struggle, they found some sort of measure of peace about their process, and they have converted any kind of pain or suffering into a greater measure of understanding of God. And you know, that's why the Jesus story, I feel, is very popular,
mm-hmm.
and it hits home with so many people. Because there's this idea of I will transcend karma.
Right.
I will enter into a state of grace.
Right.
I will move forward on my path. And what spiritualism, I feel, helps people to do it from that spiritual natural law standpoint, carrying it forward into the next plane of existence, that there's more to learn and grow and be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the end-all, be-all.
Yeah,
just because your body is done.
Right. That awareness that we do progress.
Yes, it's very important.
It's another law, right?
Yes.
And that we don't just go to some fluffy
white cloud
place. That to me, it never quite needs. And that's, again, the philosophy. Spiritualism is a religion, it's also a philosophy. For me, the description, the fact that we are presented with a structure or a form, a description
mm-hmm.
of the unseen world, our gifts, or ways to attune to it,
mm-hmm.
every aspect of that unseen dimension, that other world, is presented, is given meaning, and we understand, we can understand it with our rational mind
mm-hmm.
as an intelligent
mm-hmm.
description or metaphysics, if
yes.
you like, of a higher reality, the higher planes.
Yes.
Are connected to our chakras and our soul. Everything is like, aha.
It's
it all fits
incredible
together.
How, you know, the infinite intelligence, as many spiritualists like to term God, infinite intelligence really made a masterful design.
Yeah.
With us and with the world and our connections, and as Judith is saying, you know, that understanding the chakras, the different layers of our aura, are all connected to those higher planes, and we do have connection points with them as needed.
Right.
As needed. And various mediums, prophets, people who have meditated, Buddha, they talk about how there are different planes of existence. Jesus hinted at it, you know, that there are many rooms. There are many houses. There's the kingdom of God.
We know that from our spirit guides and teachers.
Exactly.
But they come from these different higher vibrational
places. I was reading Arthur Ford. I don't know if you remember.
Yes.
He's a famous trans medium. He even was on TV. And I was reading one of his...
Communicator to Montgomery.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about the different stages of a person after they've passed, and how they kind of, some people kind of just go to that life review space for a long time, and then some people after they've kind of gotten to a good place of that, they might go to another kind of just harmonious space and float there for a while, and then more decisions are made whether they want to go back or whether they want to go forward or however that wants to happen. And it's kind of interesting how it does align so much with what Leadbeater and Annie Besant, the theosophy group said,
Hinduism
and all of that. It's there are similarities.
Yes, yes.
From various folks that are confirming in many ways too, and Swedenborg with his Summerland.
Yes.
And so we've had different people throughout time. Angie Jackson Davis.
And they don't. Well, I was going to say Arthur Ford too talks about the halls of learning.
Yes, he does.
And I love that.
Yeah.
So he goes up to those higher places to where we go and often at night to learn with our soul. Again, so amazing.
So
and
incredible.
Comforting, and confirming that we are here to understand more about our spiritual nature.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to learn how to unfold that soul divine within us and how to serve, how to express it, how to live it, how to become more fully the person we were meant to be.
Yes.
And fulfill the purpose we were meant to have.
Yes.
That we chose coming in. So again, really, reflecting on this, I thought, why isn't everyone a spiritualist?
At one point, we were a million card-carrying spiritualists, and it was like the number one religion for a while.
Yeah.
But it's incredible, and I think it's gone through ebbs and flows, especially with wars, you know, with war, more people passing, more people wanting to... assistance with their grief and their understanding of the afterlife. And so we've had different surges as people have needed things and phases, historically speaking. But then a lot of people aren't necessarily coming to this understanding until they're older, is what I've noticed. So they might have some glimmers of it as they're going along, but most people, like 55 and up, and they start to really be hit more with mortality issues. Not that someone younger can't be. It's just they're statistically it's more along those lines. I found.
What about the Gen X and some of these very creative and free thinking new generations? I'm wondering if they're going to come along and
quite
if they're
possibly
going to be kind of. Aha, we've discovered something new.
We hope that they will have the patience to develop that side of themselves. I would say it would be good if they could have the patience with themselves and with other people as they're developing this.
Are your children, are they of the Gen X or are they just younger?
I think they're younger than that, yeah. I think they're
so
not part of that.
My grandchildren would be the Gen X.
I'm thinking they would be. And so I think it depends on what's fostered in the family, but also that something ignites in the soul. All of a sudden, a person has kind of gotten to a point where they're ready to look beyond themselves and beyond their pain and beyond their circumstances.
Yeah.
And it can rise up within them. It's kind of like a surge, similar to Kundalini, only in a different fashion. And it kind of surges up in them, and it kind of meets God, the God principle.
Yeah.
In those moments. So it's really amazing the different stories people have.
Yeah.
How they've come to themselves and how they've come to spiritualism. And I think it's really important that we keep spiritualism so much alive and well and keep the essence of spiritualism at the forefront.
Because
there is a difference between just being spiritual and being a spiritualist.
Yeah.
There's a big difference
mm-hmm.
in those. And spiritualism offers things that aren't necessarily just spiritual
mm-hmm.
in that sense. Yeah.
And
it's more of a subcategory for
us. Yeah, I was going to say, a spiritualist is on a spiritual journey. Spiritualism is a spiritual journey.
Yes.
And so it is spiritual. I suppose, like all religions, not everybody necessarily practices.
Sure.
But we're not all.
We're not into converting anybody.
We're
to
not
on
all
your own
perfect. We all have our own way of understanding it.
Sure.
But yes. I'm not sure if one can be being spiritual mainly falls into kind of a humanism.
Ah, mm-hmm.
Where God is more universal mind.
Right.
Which is acceptable in
mm-hmm.
spiritualist terms. Or God is the collective conscious,
mm-hmm.
perhaps, or something like that. Or even the Oversoul
right.
is kind of functions as God-like.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there is within that often, within the concept of humanism, an element of, there certainly is an element of a higher value, but it doesn't carry the depth of the soul, for me, of the journey of the soul
mm-hmm.
in the way we've described.
Right.
It doesn't. It's a different journey.
It is a different journey.
It's very different from what we're talking about.
You know, because what's nice is that with spiritualism, in terms of mediumship and healing, those are experiences
mm-hmm.
that you have that are yours.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to own them. And someone else might say, that's anecdotal. But it happened to you, and you know what was true.
Right.
And it may not have happened to them. And so their opinion really doesn't matter. Right? So it has happened to you, and you know what you know. And you have moved from just a space of having faith about it to having had the experience, and now you know.
You know, from direct knowledge.
And things keep happening, and you know more. And you're like, yep, rock solid.
Right.
My
right.
understanding that this is the truth of reality.
Right.
And it's a really beautiful thing, because in many religions they don't necessarily have that kind of experience, that which is their personal proof that they needed.
Mm-hmm.
And spiritualism many times over gives that to a person if they're really in that seeking mind. But I'm with Florence Shin in the sense that you can't just say, God, give me my burning bush. Why haven't I seen my burning bush? And for people who don't know what that is, it's a thing in the Bible where, you know, he wants to see the burning bush, and then he'll, hello, and the burning bush talks to him, right? But
Moses,
and he has his proof about these things. You have to develop a measure of faith that moves you into feeling open to the experience and really listening to God, not just demanding of God.
Yeah. We may, in our despair or suffering, demand, but our yell help or rage like Job.
Yeah.
I think it's a mystery. We don't always, because often in the depths of despair, God and Spirit will bring an enlightened samadhi kind of experience, a hard experience of connectedness.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain principles that oneness with God is a learning how to release our own will,
mm-hmm.
And allowing a higher will, which is really our soul's desire.
It's that moment of letting God,
letting go.
And it's a tricky place.
But,
I had to do that recently. Again.
So, one thing we haven't talked about either, which is part of this.
Yes, we gotta think about these things before the show's over.
Are we moving along
here? I think we're moving along. We're doing fine, though.
One of the reasons I wanted to plug it, that I call my book To Touch the Soul.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Is a wonderful spirit guide, Silver Birch, who's written a lot of books and came to a circle at the turn of the century in England, Schaefer Circle and Swapper Circle, something. Spoke to Harry Edwards,
yeah,
the well-known healer,
mm-hmm,
and said, you know, you can heal the physical body. You can heal as an instrument of spirit, spirit healer, spirit guides. You can heal someone's asthma or their heart condition or all kinds of things. He healed, he and others in his institute, chronic, people would come with
issues,
with diseases that doctors had given up on.
Mm-hmm.
So Silver Birch said, you can do all of these things with the physical body, but when you touch the soul of the sitter that you are an instrument of healing for, then you awaken. So I'm reminded of what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
The aim of all healing, the aim of all mediumship is to touch the soul.
Yes.
Because then the person can take charge. Then their life begins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because this new life within begins to grow.
It's like Jesus said, get up and walk.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, okay,
yeah,
you're good.
Mm-hmm. So
it's something within
so
them
beautiful
that becomes aware.
Yeah.
Or like the lady who grabbed on to his robe,
mm-hmm,
and she said, please heal me. And he says, you already have been healed because you had faith about these things. So
yeah.
A sense that people have to get to. We have longer than that.
Oh.
This is okay. So there's that understanding that you have seen this throughout time, and it will continue. These understandings of healing, these healings of mediumship, will continue. We have to be the ones that hold the space for that.
Yeah.
So that then other people can hold the space for that, and it's certainly the importance of Lilydale. And have way longer than that.
Oh,
ignore this timing. And the beauty of healing and absent healing, again,